Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Relevant Leader Monthly, a conversation to help equip the leaders of Relevant Community Church to become highly effective influencers. I'm your host, Nick Petrick, and today joining me again is going to be Pastor Jimmy George. Last month, he joined me to discuss prayer, and right after we got done, we felt like there was so much more that we wanted to talk about. So I decided to bring Jimmy back this month and flesh out just a little bit more what we're talking about when it comes to prayer. If you haven't listened to last month's podcast, I would highly recommend going and listening to that first. But I just wanted to start by thanking you, Jimmy, for being here, coming back this month.
Hello, Nick. How are you this morning?
I'm doing all right.
That's good.
How are you, Jimmy?
I'm well.
All right. So before we get started today, I wanted to share with you just kind of what I'm hoping to accomplish in today's podcast. A couple months ago, I was meeting with one of my Relevant 101 leaders, small group leaders. We were talking about how Relevant 101 and 201 are different from when we were doing staff orientation. The truth is that most of the content of the class is still the same, but the way that we're leading people to go through it, the way that we're presenting it, is just a little bit different. And so I wanted to make sure we knew why we were doing what we were doing, what we were hoping to accomplish by what we're doing. And so I told the leader that I was talking to that what we're specifically doing in Relevant 101 is equipping participants to know more about Relevant, God, and how to follow Jesus. One of the biggest differences is that we're not telling our transformation stories until Relevant 201. So 101 is less about building relationships, and it's more about equipping people to grow, connect, and impact. So the Relevant 101 leader asked me, just kind of point blank, what do you mean when you say the word equip? And I was taken back a little bit. Honestly, I thought that everyone kind of knew what the word equip meant. And to be honest, you know, a lot of times when we say words, we think we have a definition in our head and everybody else has that same definition. But almost every word in the English language can be just seen a little bit differently. And so, you know, I was kind of put on the spot. I wanted to have a good answer. I didn't want to just say the first thing that came to my mind. So I thought about it for a little bit. And the first two things that came to my mind when it comes to the word equip was that we need to have the tools to do the job, but we also have to have the knowledge or the understanding of how to use the tools. So think about it in any job that you're doing. Think about it if you were a home builder. You know, honestly, I'm not equipped to build a house because I don't have the tools to build a house. And even if I had the tools, I don't have the understanding, the knowledge of how to use them. If I had the tools, that would be really cool.
That would be cool.
However, I still wouldn't have any clue how to use those tools. Or if I had the knowledge of how to build a house, how to use all the tools, but I didn't have the tools to do it, again, I wouldn't be able to build that house. So when we talk about equipping, we're talking about having those tools, and we're talking about knowing really how to use them. So last month when we talked about prayer, one of our goals was to equip each and every leader of Relevant in how to pray. And I felt like we talked about some tools, especially when we talked about the pray method. But there's so much more that we wanted to talk about, and we didn't want to just give the tools. Really, when you and I talked after the podcast last month, we said we really want to help people understand how to use the tools. You know, hang with me here, but just a real quick story that really impacted me when I was a kid. My sixth grade math teacher, his name was Mr. Butler. I've run into him a few times over the last few years, and I always think the same thing when I see him, but one thing he impressed upon me when it came to math was that there's no point in getting the answers if you don't understand how you got the answers.
Those kind of teachers upset me.
Yeah. So it was funny. The first day of class, he got his chair out and he walked over to the wall. He had a piece of chalk, which, yes, I'm old.
Old.
Chalkboard days, you know. And he grabbed the piece of chalk and he wrote a giant U on the wall. It stood up high on the chair, and then he moved his chair over and he wrote an N and then a D and then a, and he spelled out the whole word understanding. It wrapped about halfway around the classroom, and he just, first day of class, sixth grade math, he told everybody, my whole goal for this year is that you understand what we're doing. I don't care how many math problems you get done. If you don't understand them, my whole goal is that you understand what you're doing. And to me, that was huge. So, you know, today, I don't want to just talk about what are the tools, but I really want to take a deep dive into one specific tool and really talk about, really get an understanding of how to use that tool, what it looks like, and how do we do that. So today, we're going to specifically look at the PRAY method. And, you know, it's praise, repent, ask, and yield. Back during our Faithful series, we handed out a tool during week three, that just a piece of paper that kind of goes over it. It also can be found on the relevant app under the resources tab. There's a spot you can click on that says prayer tools. And so, you know, we all can easily go to that real quick. I would highly suggest, as Jimmy and I are diving into this, that you click on that on the app and look up the tool so that you can kind of reference it and follow along with us. But last month, we talked about how prayer is hard. We talked about how the reality is we don't do it as much as we'd like to, how without a plan, it doesn't happen. The PRAY method is a plan. So let's dive into this, Jimmy. Let's get into it. Let's start with the P in pray. Let's talk about praise. What do we mean by praise? Why is it so important, Jimmy?
Well, a lot of people think when they hear the word praise that we're talking about singing songs, and that's part of it. That's part of praising God. But I want to talk a little bit more about what it really means here. And so, but I want to remind us of where this whole pray method comes from, because again, we base it loosely on the Lord's Prayer. But starting in the book of Matthew chapter 5, you'll probably see something there at a title in your Bible called Sermon on the Mount. This is what we call it now, not we as relevant, but just we as human beings call it Sermon on the Mount. But basically, Jesus is teaching people on a mountainside. He's talking about something called the Beatitudes, talking about being salt and light. He goes through murder and adultery and making oaths. He even talks about loving our enemies. Then he gets to chapter 6. And we get to chapter 6, and he starts talking about generosity and giving to the needy and not doing it to be seen by men or women, but just keeping it a secret. He says, don't do this for the reward of man. But and then he begins talking about prayer in chapter 6, verse 5, and he starts off talking about how not to pray. He describes the people that like to just use a lot of words and pray for a very long time and just sound intelligent. He says, don't babble. Basically, don't shout it in the streets. Don't pray so others think that you can pray awesome. I know I used to be intimidated by people that would pray. They sounded amazing. I'm like, I could never do that. But he basically says, you know, keep that a secret too. So go into your room and close the door. And then he says how to pray. So he gets done talking about how not to pray. And then he says, this is how you should pray. And he says this statement, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And here Jesus uses a word that we don't often hear or use. I don't know how many times you use
the word hallowed. Yeah, I don't remember the last time I said hallowed.
There's another word that sounds kind of like hallowed, but that's around October.
I'm actually not even sure if I'm saying the word right.
I don't know. Hallowed. but basically, if you look up the definition to that word, you kind of do some study in scripture, to hallow something, not hollow it, but to hallow it is to basically make it holy or separate it. Example, like I had a bunch of baseballs growing up when I was in middle school and maybe some elementary school years there too, but I had a bunch of baseballs that I'd play around with, but I had a Mickey Mantle baseball. It was signed. My dad gave it to me, and that one...
It was actually signed by him.
It was signed.
It wasn't just like the printer printed his name on it and
right.
he bought it at the store.
He signed it. And my dad gave it to me. I ended up giving it away, I don't know, 5 years ago or so to some kid. Maybe that was a bad decision. I don't know. Maybe it was my retirement. Anyway, but basically hallowed is to separate that from everything else, and because it doesn't belong on the same level. Whatever is hallowed has its own level. And Jesus is starting with this, and he's saying that we hallow his name. We hallow God's name because God is the most important thing, and God himself and his name is the most important thing. And so Jesus instructs us to begin by praising God, which normally when we go to prayer, we don't usually go and start praising God first.
Correct. Yeah, we usually go to our requests.
Right, which we're really good at.
Yeah.
But he says, no, I mean, you spend time praising his name, acknowledging God as our heavenly Father and Creator, and praising God focuses our minds and prepares our hearts, because you actually have to stop and think about what you're doing. You don't just rush into it. We all know what we need and we want to ask for, but this starts by preparing our hearts. And it takes a focus off of ourselves and puts it on God by worshiping him for who he is and what he has done. Thinking through this, I think one of the best pictures of what it looks like to praise God in such a way that is hallowing his name is a picture of what worship in heaven looks like. There's a in the book of Revelation that everybody always wants to talk through and read through, chapter 4, verse 8, it gives us this crazy description of worship and with some crazy creatures. Verse 8 says, "Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings. And day and night, they never stopped saying, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.'" In verse 9, "Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, there's 24 elders who fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. And then they lay their crowns before the throne and say, 'You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being.'" I think about when they lay their crowns, I think about, like, that's our accomplishments. We just put those down, we lay them off to the side, and we hallow God's name. And that's a crazy picture. I don't know if you have crazy creatures praying with you, but it's all about our posture. And so when you think about praising God, it's acknowledging him for those things. Like, God, I am in awe of you. Your name is a strong tower. It's a place of protection and safety for me. And I praise you as my healer and my shepherd, my banner of victory. You are my peace and my provider and my righteousness and my sanctifier. Your name is great. And then we can just go on and on and on and just praise God for who he is and what he has done. And it just kind of sets our heart and our posture in the right direction. So,
yeah, I love how you said that praise takes our focus off of ourself and puts it on him. You know, so often prayer we're doing so we can get something.
Yeah.
And the reality is when we can frame our mindset in a way that he is God and we are his people, it changes everything.
Yeah.
Changes the way we pray, changes the way we view life, changes how we come out of prayer as well. So definitely great way to start when we pray is focusing on our gratitude and taking our focus off of ourselves and putting it on him.
Yeah.
So that's great.
Yeah.
So let's move on to the R in pray, repent. This is another word that, I don't every day tell my kids that they need to go repent or say, hey, I repented of this. help us out here, Jimmy. What do we mean by repent and what does it look like?
Well, I actually did hear that word a lot growing up. My mom would always tell me, you better go into your room and repent, son, you know, or she'd call me Buster. But I actually heard the word repent a lot, and so it never felt good. But all throughout Scripture, Jesus tells us to make a regular habit of repenting and confessing and of our sins, and promises to forgive us when we do. And many people think that repenting is just saying sorry, like I'm so sorry for this.
Yeah.
But it's so much more than that. When you dig into Scripture, into this word, repentance goes way beyond saying sorry or just feeling bad or maybe feeling regret for something that you had done or thought or caused, or even being remorseful of our own failure or wrongdoing. But in its fullest sense and outcome, to repent literally means to change one's mind. And it's like, well, Jimmy, well, what do you mean by that? So I think here is where I'd say, Nick, ask me, what do I mean by that?
Jimmy, what do you mean by that?
Well, thanks for asking, Nick. I would love
what do you
to
mean
share
by changing one's mind?
I would love to share that. But repentance involves an awareness of our own guilt and sinfulness. Again, sin being a violation against Holy Creator God. Whether that's relational sin, financial sin, because you can sin financially, selfishness or unforgiveness. But it's just being aware of that. Repentance knows that we need to take hold of God's mercy because we are helpless without it. It's acknowledging that without God, we are helpless. And repentance means a change of attitude, and not only attitude, but our action regarding that sin or whatever the case is. But then again, like I keep saying, it just goes farther and deeper, not just changing our attitude about it, but actually turning from it and turning to God and pursuing a life of holiness and obedience to God. So repent means you're going down a path, you acknowledge the path, it's against God's standards and what he would have for us, and you decide and you turn the other way and you start walking into the way that God would have you go. But when it comes to repentance in our prayer time, this is when whether you're journaling or you're saying this out loud, we acknowledge and confess that sin and maybe the unforgiveness in our lives. We ask for forgiveness and then we just start telling God, okay, I need your help here while I turn from this. Maybe I want to keep doing it, but I acknowledge that that's not the way that you would have me go. And so we ask him for help, and he already knows about it. Like, he sees everything, which I don't always like that, but he sees everything. I remember when I was in high school, I did something really stupid just one time. And I finally got the guts to go tell my parents, and I didn't think that they knew what I had done. But the fact that I went to tell them first, they received that with love and grace, and they already knew it. They told me, we already knew this. We were just hopeful that you would come to us first. And I never felt more loved. I was shocked that they knew, but it was received with grace and love. And I repented and I never did that thing again. And so yeah. I wanted to at times, but I decided not to. And so I think about when we're praying, like that might sound like, God, I thank you so much for offering me the gift of forgiveness. Show me any areas of my life that I need to bring before you in order to receive that forgiveness and healing. Maybe it might look like I confess that I've been struggling with some things in my life, and then we specifically name maybe there's something. Everybody kind of knows what that thing or those things are.
Yeah.
And we just, again, we ask and we receive God's forgiveness in our lives for that, and he gives us unfailing grace every single time. Like it just keeps going. And so, but God is a God of mercy, and he's a safe God. He's a good shepherd. Like he just wants to shepherd our hearts and our lives and our minds. And sometimes you might hear him say, you know, in order for you to get over this, thank you for bringing it to my attention, Jimmy. But in order for you to get over this, I might ask you to go tell somebody else about that. I'm reminded of James 5:16. Confess your sins to one another so that you may be healed. There's a lot of healing that comes when you confess your sin to somebody else that's been been awesome for me in my history of dealing with this topic. And but that might be for a whole nother day.
Yeah, last month you told us that prayer is relationally or intentionally and relationally connecting with God. And so I love how you say repentance helps us see that without God, we're hopeless. Mm-hmm. I always thought the word repent meant feel bad about what you did.
Yeah.
But that's alone.
Yeah.
That's what we do by ourselves. Yeah. And true repentance, we don't do on our own. True repentance, we do with God. And so we relationally connect with God, mm-hmm. and figure out where we're going
yeah.
from there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's good. All right. Well, let's keep moving. The next letter in the prayer method is ask. So, you know, ask could look like a lot of different things. So help us with that one, Jimmy.
Well, this is my favorite part of prayer is the asking. Like, I'm probably the best at this when it comes to praying, and I'm just really good at it. But I would say for most people, this is probably the most habitual part of prayer for people. They just run right into it without even thinking, which I do all the time. Last week, my wife and I were in Florida in St. Augustine. It was pretty awesome. And one of my goals was that when we woke up in the morning, we go down to the hotel breakfast restaurant or whatever, and we bring our Bibles, spend some time reading scripture, and then I would pray with her, and we'd pray together. And at one point, I think the first day, I grabbed her hand to pray, and I just went straight into asking God for stuff. And I don't even know what it was. It came out of my mouth so fast. And I had to stop and say, I'm sorry, Amanda. I need to start this whole thing over because I'm retraining myself how to pray, and I wanted to start with praising God. And so she's like, oh, okay, well, awesome. And so, you know, it was great. I started over. I started by praising God and made my prayer time with her that much more better. But I don't think more better.
That much more better.
Good grammar, but, yeah. You know, hey, whatever. But asking God for things. God is the author and the creator and the sustainer of all things, like all things. And as his children, he wants us to ask him for things, for wisdom, for direction, for physical needs that we have, like healing, or you think sometimes motivation, like God, help me find the motivation to do this thing or whatever. Maybe we ask him for resources that we need, for guidance, like on parenting or marriage, or maybe something at work, help with decision making. In Proverbs chapter 3, that the writer of scripture says, in all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. That means like, hey, I go to God for this thing and he's going to help me know it. But he also promises to supply all of our needs, both physically and spiritually, and even mentally and emotionally. But him being the creator and author and sustainer of all things, like why wouldn't we go to him to ask him for whatever we need? But in this portion, this is where we bring those requests. This is where we bring those needs, and not just for myself, but for other people too. Sometimes it's easy to just talk about what we need and just forget about other people. But when you pray and ask things on behalf of others, that's where we get the word interceding from. It's you're going to battle for other people. You're asking on behalf of other people, including your own children if you have them, maybe your spouse, your friend, a family, coworkers. You can pray on behalf of them for things. I know as a father, I know what my kids want. I hear them talk about it. I know what's going to bless them. I know what's going to make them smile, what's going to fulfill their desires. My middle child is really good about asking me for things. Like he's a shopper. he's always on Amazon, and I'll get text all throughout the day with links to Amazon something, whether it's Legos, G.I. Joes, still fake arm tattoos. You can wear those sleeves. Like I'll just get the most random things, but then he'll come to me and start asking me for these things because he knows that I could provide it.
Yeah.
But we're to ask God for everything. But here's the key. This is where many people get caught up with this whole thing is we can ask him for anything and he promises to supply all of our needs according to his will. Not our will, his will. What's good for us. I do the same thing with my kids. Like there's things that I'll give them if they ask, but there's other things that I just know are not going to turn out really well for them. So I might wait for those things or whatever. But when we ask our Heavenly Father, we're showing our dependence on him and he will bless his children every single time. But in short, I would say when it comes to the ask portion of this, I break it down into two parts. What am I asking for myself? And then what am I asking for others? And so that's kind of what the ask is like.
Yeah, it's good. I fully agree that for most of us, asking is the part that we're good at, the mm-hmm. part that we like doing, the part that we go to first. I do want to throw out one disclaimer. Mm-hmm. There are probably a group of people listening. I'd throw myself into that group where asking has actually been the hardest part of praying for me a lot of times because I look at God on such a high level that I think, why would he care about me?
Yeah.
Why would he care about the insignificant things that I want?
Yeah.
And that's a lie from Satan.
Yeah.
That is not, the relationship that God wants from us. I love that you brought up, your kids and being a father, because that's what's really helped me with asking is realizing, I want my kids to ask me things.
Yeah.
I want them to come with me with the things that they want, the things that they need help with. And I think it's just really big that we recognize that when we're praying, that we're not alone.
Yeah.
When we're praying as followers of Christ, we're in dialogue with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And so when we're asking for things, we're also getting his input to us, his direction. And so when it's not in accordance with his will,
yeah.
then we get help with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so asking just to get things probably isn't the right approach, but asking things to build the relationship that you have with Jesus, that's 100% worth it and something that we all should be doing.
Yeah, there was a time back when I had to make a pretty big decision job-wise years ago, and I asked in my prayer time, I told God, God, I know I need to make this decision, and it's going to impact my family. Here's why I'm afraid to walk into that decision. And I listed out all the dumb things that I wanted, the things that I wanted and the things that I wanted to happen. And what was crazy is just a few years after walking into that decision, I could go back and check off all the things that God had given me and allowed to happen. And it was just awesome. And I started feeling like a big kid. I'm like, man, he loves me,
Yeah.
And it was awesome. The things that were not good for me, I did not get. and I'm thankful for that.
All right. So let's move on to the why and pray. The why stands for yield. Again, another word, I guess we have yield signs and we yield to traffic, but other than that, what do we mean by yield?
Yeah, I thought about the yield sign too, and you actually kind of started talking about it just a minute ago about the Holy Spirit, but we'll get into that in just a second. But this part, the yield factor, is what I would in my own life call the obedience factor. It's a tough one sometimes to yield. Even if you're driving, sometime you see some oncoming traffic, you're like, I think I could make it. So, but it's probably better if I yield and wait. But yielding is stopping, it's waiting, it's slowing down, it's listening to God, and then ultimately surrendering our will to His, and we're surrendering our priorities to His priorities. And it's really about giving God control of our lives and surrendering our plans to His. So if we think about yielding my own will and giving that to God and saying, use me and I'll do what you ask, I'll do what you say. That's what yielding is. So when it when it comes to our prayer time, whether maybe in your prayer time you're reading some scripture, maybe you've been journaling, writing for some things, there comes a point when you can't just throw out all your requests and throw out all your things and say a bunch of stuff, write a bunch of stuff, and then walk away. Like, it's a two-way conversation. Like, prayer is that you're in a relationship. You don't just, I don't just go blab at my wife and then walk away, because that would be detrimental. And she'd probably get really upset quite often. But yielding is surrendering and waiting and listening. And we wait for him in his prompting through the Holy Spirit. You brought up the Holy Spirit a minute ago. And when it comes to the Holy Spirit, I always like to talk about this. But when we put our faith in Jesus by asking him to be the forgiver of our sins and leader of our lives, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, who takes up residence in the life of every single follower of Jesus. There's a reference in Acts chapter 2 that just talks about repent, be baptized, and you'll receive the gift of the Spirit. And a lot of people aren't quite sure what that is. But the Holy Spirit plays a lot of roles in this world and in our own personal lives as followers of Jesus. The Holy Spirit confirms to every follower of Jesus that we belong to God. The Holy Spirit seals us. It's like, you know, stamp a seal or a wax seal, like, you belong to me. That's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit displays evidence of our new life in Christ by producing the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. The Holy Spirit convicts us to confess our sin to God so that we can be purified from all unrighteousness. That's in 1 John 1:9. What I love is how the Holy Spirit gives us gifts, spiritual gifts. These are like God-given abilities for service, not to be used for ourselves, but to actually edify and build up the church. Every single follower of Jesus at Relevant has a gift, a spiritual gift that they need to be using to edify and build the rest of our body up. But the Holy Spirit helps all of us understand and apply scripture to our life and illuminate what God's word says. But he also empowers us to live for Jesus and to do God's will. So the Holy Spirit plays a lot of different things in our life, but yielding is waiting for God's response to whatever, to do whatever we're supposed to be doing in our life, or in whatever we're facing. So we have a problem. What does God want us to do about it? We wait and we yield to that. And it's like, God, I'm waiting for your voice. And I recognize there's no better plan on earth than yours. And I pray for your will to be done in my life. And should I take that job? Should I not? One of the questions that Pastor Ronnie has us ask ourselves quite often is, God, what would you have me do today in regards to the relationship, how I direct my child? What would you have me do in regard to my finances or this decision? And then we just ask for God's wisdom there, and he will make our path straight. And that's what yielding looks like. And I would say, again, yielding is obedience.
Yeah, it's easy to see prayer as a check-in with God. I'm presenting my request to him. I'm telling him I'm grateful, and then I'm moving on. And yielding is the opposite of moving on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's stopping and letting God lead you.
Yeah.
I want to speak to those who are listening that are maybe feeling just some tension here, thinking that I don't know if I've ever yielded before. Mm. I don't know if I know how to yield. Mm-hmm. My T Life group, we discussed this on Monday night, and they were saying, so you actually do that? You actually yield? Like, so you just go and you just sit and wait and mm-hmm. don't talk when you're praying?
Yeah.
And so I think it's not common. It's something that we're never really taught how to yield. And it can be really awkward sitting there.
Yeah.
Our minds race. We want to move on to the next thing. We want to feel productive. And a lot of times yielding doesn't feel productive. But when you put it in the way of hearing God's voice, that sounds pretty productive to me.
Yeah. Cause you can't know what God is telling you if you don't.
Yeah.
If you're not quiet.
Yeah.
And you're not listening. It's like it reminds me of, you know, speaking back to our children, kids go to school, middle school, that's their tough years. I keep saying middle school because that's where my kids are at right now.
Yeah.
It's tough. They come home with an issue. They tell me about it. I listen to them. And then if they're seeking advice, now I'm talking and they're listening. And that listening from them is yielding to what I'm saying. But at the end of it, they have a decision to make. Do I listen to the advice of my father, who I'm not going to give them bad advice? I want to give them successful advice to help them. Or are they going to disobey my advice, if you will, and then walk back into some danger or some bad decisions or whatever? They have a decision to make there, but they have to listen to what I'm saying first before they can make that decision. So and then they'd yield to it if they're smart.
Well, we're running out of time, so I want to try to wrap this up, but you know, thanks for going deeper into the prayer method with us. You know, I think back to Mr. Butler, my sixth grade math teacher, and, you know, having the tools to do the job, but then also the understanding. And the understanding we don't get just by somebody talking about it. We get the understanding by somebody telling us, showing us how to do it, but then us actually doing it.
Yeah.
And working through the tension as we do it. And so, you know, I want to encourage our listeners to grab a hold of this prayer method, this pray method, and give it a try. We all need a plan when we pray. You know, think about it as going to the gym and working out. It's not like I can just show up in the morning at the gym and all of a sudden I'm in better shape. I have to have a plan.
Wait, what are you talking about? I thought that's how it worked.
You know, many people have personal trainers that develop a specific workout routine, a plan that they're going to do. A lot of people go and do it on their own, but they have a plan. They know when I get there, I'm going to do these things. Mm-hmm. It's not like you just show up to the gym and think, well, I've actually done that a few times though. Showed up to the gym and thought, well, what should I do now?
What should I do today?
Those were not the most productive workouts. And so, you know, I want to challenge everybody who's listening, spend 15 minutes today thinking through your plan, thinking through setting up a plan. If you don't have a plan, think of Jimmy as your personal trainer, giving you the pray method, giving you the specific plan. Give it a try. Work it out. Work through the tension. Don't be okay with your prayer life not being where you want it to be. You know, it's important. Yeah. It's not something that we can just, as leaders who influence relevant community church, we can't just not have prayer lives.
Yeah.
We can't not relationally and intentionally connect with God. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we'll be leading them where we want them to go rather than where God wants them to go.
That's real good.
So, Jimmy, thanks again for joining us today. It is always so much fun to have you on here. I'm just grateful for you.
Yeah, we should go to the gym after this.
Yeah, we should just show up, see what happens.
Yeah.
All right, and for leaders, make sure that you follow the Relevant Leader Monthly on whatever platform that you're listening to. That way you can get an automatic notification when the next podcast is available. We post these every month, the last Friday of the month. So don't forget to join us again next month for another conversation that helps all of us become leaders who are highly effective influencers.